This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and so glad you guys are on board today with me. I tell you, the weather has been crazy, has it not? Like, in this winter season, we've seen Texas have a major freeze. Here in Alabama, it's been just really bitterly cold. and then we're getting back to warm temperatures, so this weather is crazy, folks, I tell you. But you know what? Hey, we still rejoice in all things anyway, right? So today on Thoughts Become Things, I want to bring up the term teamwork, because this is what I want to talk about for a little bit, is teamwork. Because a lot of people think teamwork is more of a business type of thing. You know, hey, let's all work together as a team. And that's true. However, when it deals with teamwork, I want you to begin to see it from a biblical point of view, as far as, we'll say, accountability. One of the things I've learned in my life is to have accountability, to have a board, to have close-knit, what I call covenantal people, covenantal friends that are with me, that you can tell them the good, the bad, the ugly, and there's no judgment, there's no shock factor, there's nothing. Why? Because they truly know your heart. And the truth is, you know, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone has goof-ups. Everyone does things that are like, whoa, I can't believe you just did that. Everyone does that to some degree or another in their life. And when we look at teamwork, we want to be able to understand, how does that play a role within the sound counsel? You know, the Bible says something really interesting, and it says, in the sound counsel, you know, there's wisdom found in a sound counsel. And so what that means is that you've got to begin to look at your life and realize that I need people surrounding me. You know, the Bible says something interesting about people who've passed on. It says, you know, such a great cloud of witnesses, how basically this cloud of witnesses surround us. You know, the Bible talks about with the angels. It says, you know, that they will encompass about us with songs of deliverance. So in other words, they will surround us with songs of deliverance to bring forth the freedom and liberty that we're wanting to move into. And when we see that, we realize, wait a minute, what if God is giving us a hint when it deals with humanity and people? What if God is letting us know that when you look at your life, you really need to activate relationships around you? And the reason why is because most people don't have people they can sort of, we'll say, throw things off of. You know, hey, what do you think about this idea? What do you think about if I do this? That's really important that we all begin to understand exactly how that looks to our in our lives. Because you can't rely on just yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to be successful on my own. I'm going to make the money on my own. I'm going to, you know, live in health on my own. I'm going to, you know, do this and do this. Because think of life in a way where we are codependent people. We are. There's a healthiness to being codependent, and there's an unhealthiness to being codependent. The unhealthiness part, actually, is the part where we begin to really rely on so many people to where we feel that we're such attached to them that we can't make decisions without them. You know, my life depends on your joy. My life depends on if you love me or not. You know, if not, I don't want to live anymore if you don't, you know, give me your love. I mean, the truth is, there's such a severity in codependency that's very unhealthy. Very dangerous for us as people, because we have to begin to awaken and live out the reality of our identity, to know our authenticity and live that out loud, proud, right? But when we deal with these type of scriptures and we deal with the fact of a healthiness and codependency, we have to remember that every joint supplies, which means the Bible says that every joint supplies in the church, which also means that every joint supplies in your life. So everybody in your life actually plays a role, and you have to define them, not them. They're not the ones that need to define themselves to you. You've got to begin to define them to really understand, where do they belong in your life? I remember doing a teaching years ago on some temples in the Old Testament, where it deals with the outer court, inner court, and holy place. What we call Holy of Holies. And what that means is, there's a group of people, a lot of people, who resided in the outer court. Like anybody, no matter who you are, what you are, outer court, man, that's where you sort of fit, right? Then you have the inner court, which is basically more of the, what I consider more of the sacred, the people that you will tell certain things to that you wouldn't tell the outer court to. You know, the outer court mentality is to tell and share anything you want to share, because you realize they're not really close to me, so I can just sort of share anything joyful in the sense sense of like at a distance, I share with them the more selective things, the more, you know, never intimate things, never things that are very personal, just very generic simplicity mentality. The inner court is those people that, you know, I can trust a little bit more. I can share a little bit more with them because I understand just how far my limits can go with them, though, and I can go that far. But then you get into the holy of holy place, which in the Bible, not to get too technical with some of you guys, in the Bible it deals with the holy of holy place, which deals with just the priest went in. Like no one else was allowed in, just the priest went in. And what that means is I consider that covenant, which means as we are kings and priests unto God, that means that you've got to know people in your life that are very covenantal. And those are the people you can basically like rely on in a healthy way, but also trust in them with any detail, any secret, anything you have, because there's no shock factors. Because you understand and realize that they love you unconditionally. They love you. They know your heart. They know what, you know, your motive. So therefore, if you do something wrong or if you do something right even, you know, no big deal. They love you. And they're here to help you if you ever need help, and vice versa. Okay, it's not all about always about just us, and it's the mentality where you know that you have that with them. And when you think of teamwork, you look at it as sort of the same way. And that is, do you have people around you that you can throw ideas off of? Do you have people around you that you can say, hey, I know this is a silly idea, but you know, I thought about maybe opening up a barbershop. I thought about opening up a clothing store. I thought about selling this on the internet. No matter what it is, people that are in your covenant to a holy of holies place, they'll give you the truth. They'll tell you exactly what they think about it. Man, that's a really bad idea. I don't think you should do that. Or maybe, wow, that's a powerful idea. And even through their constructive criticism, it doesn't bother you because you know that you trust them. You know that they're there and they really see your best interest, like at heart. They really have your best interest at heart. And you know that you know there's no jealousy with them, competition. Here's a key thing with covenantal relationships is you never, ever, ever, ever allow anyone in that covenantal holy place of relationships that you feel might have even an ounce of jealousy, an ounce of competition. And let me tell you something. You know, sometimes it might be family members. Sometimes it might be friends. Sometimes it might not be family members. And sometimes it might not be even friends. It might be just family. But the truth is, you've got to begin to get a feel of that. You've got to begin to know who's been with me longevity, who's really got my back, no matter what happens, good, bad, or ugly. Those are the key elements. Because teamwork, when it deals with your life, you've got to have people, Lord, people that you can bounce things off of. You've got to have people you can begin to tell the truth to and share with them, knowing they're not going to be just yes people. They will be with you for the long haul, no matter what. And teamwork, you know, in a business setting means, you know what, I'm going to work with you. Doesn't matter if I have to know a whole lot about you, but at business, that's what I have to know about. I got to know how you function, operate in your business technique. How do you operate, you know, with your business skills? Because then we're going to begin to work as a team and begin to get this project completed and done. And so it's sort of like that in a way, but you have to remember that when it deals with teamwork, you have to understand within your life, no matter what happens, you've got people surrounding you because you can't expect to do things alone. Let me give you some great examples real quick. If you think about people that are sick, what do? You never have people, you know, people that are stubborn, we'll just put it this way. People that are very stubborn-hearted would say, I don't need to go to the doctor. I'll just stay sick. It'll pass eventually. Well, that's stubbornness. You know, people that would, you know, have, you know, something said that, you know, some kind of element or virus or whatever, or the flu, they're not going to say, I don't need anybody. Don't even, you know, give me food. I'm not going to go to the doctor. You know, those are stubborn people. Nobody's really going to be that way unless you're stubborn. Most people that have wisdom or have some brains to them is going to say, you know what, I'm not feeling good. I need to go to the doctor. Could be the flu. Could be the coronavirus. It could be, you know, just the cough. And once again, we're not implementing anything negative. We're just saying, you know, in the counsel of many, there's wisdom. And that plays a role within the business structure, plays a role within your health structure, because you need the counsel of someone that knows what they're doing and knows what they're talking about, which is what? Your doctor, your physician. And through that, guess what you do? You begin to realize, you know what, this guy knows more than me. So he has my best interest at heart. And you know, that's how it is. When you do your taxes, you know, what do you have to do? You usually sometimes will get help with taxes. You go through H&R Block, or you go to your accountant and you said, you know, hey, this is your expertise. I need your help. So within life, folks, we have, in a professional manner, we have people we go to for certain things, for health, for taxes, for if you're going to buy a house, you would pretty much, what, get a realtor. right? Because that you know, you realize they know more than you on this area. You deal with anything in life. You deal with construction, you're going to call contractor, right? To be able to take care of this. You know, I want this door put in. Okay, great. I'm going to contact someone in their expertise to do that. You have to remember, folks, this is actually life. And it's actually teamwork, but it's also accountability. And it's also calling upon professionals to help you within their expertise. You've got to surround your life with successful people. You got to surround your life with people that are healthy. You got to surround yourself with people that are, as far as spiritually and everything else, you got to surround your life with people that have a little bit more knowledge maybe than you on certain levels of life, because it's so important to understand on a spiritual level, I need to surround myself with people that are very spiritually minded, you know, that actually are not religious, but they're spiritually minded. They really have been awakened and enlightened to truth that actually is not, you know, devastating. It's not sort of cultish. It's not, you know, draw me into an us for, you know, no more mentality. I always steer clear. Let me tell you this. In my spiritual walk, I always steer clear. Most of you are probably the same way. I steer clear of people. I stay away from people that are religious and, you know, my church holds the truth and, you know, is this way or the highway? I'm like, you know what? I don't need that because my God is a lot bigger than your church. My God's a lot bigger than Christianity. My God's a lot bigger than a, you know, denomination. And, you know, therefore, I stay clear. I just sort of steer clear of all those type of mentalities of people because I've surrounded myself with people that are healthy spiritually and they don't mind if you throw ideas to them. They're not going to say, oh, that's not the Bible, brother. You know, I don't have to worry about that because I like to have a soundboard that I can throw things off of to say, well, Lena, let's get some counsel on that. And most people, let me also say this to you as well. Most people in Christianity really don't understand, they do not understand the reality of what Christianity is built on. And I'm going to say this just for a moment, take a little rabbit trail here, because Christianity, you know, really came out of Judaism, right? Because Christ was a Jew. I mean, Christ was not a Christian, folks, and contrary to how people think. You know, he wasn't the first Christian. You know, Jesus was a Jew to the day he died. And so he comes from Judaism. And what that means is in Israel, I've been to Israel several times. When you think about Israel and you think of Judaism, they have huge soundboards around them, and they don't always have to come up to with a conclusion. That's the problem with Christianity. Christianity is so full of pride, it's ridiculous, because we have to come up with a conclusion. You're right, or I'm wrong. You know, it can't be two rights. It can't be two wrongs. You know, it's got to be. This is the truth. And it's interesting how most Christians look at truth and say, I know the truth, brother. The Holy Spirit showed me. Well, whatever happened to the other 6,999,000 people? Are they all wrong? And you're just the only one that's got, you know, God's heart here that knows the truth, you know? I steer clear of all those type of people because I don't understand how you can be able to fit life into that type of thinking. But I will tell you this. Judaism is a place where they throw things back and forth and they don't have to come up with a conclusion to say, I was right, brother, hallelujah. No, that's not how they are. Thank God Judaism is not like Christianity. Sorry, no offense, guys, but thank God it's not. Because it doesn't come up with a conclusion. It understands there's more truths found within a truth. And that means that they understand that the God of the universe shows them different, diverse truths that all come from the same truth. Hello, God. And because of that, they don't argue about it. But they do tend to get together and have heated discussions trying to, you know, bring things out on the table. Lay it on the table. Let's talk about it. That's a dynamic soundboard, a dynamic sound council. Why? Because you understand that what they're showing is they're not trying to bring forth the pride of what is truth and I'm the one right, brother. I got a doctorate degree. You know, I can't handle people that are like, I'm Dr. Apostle so-and-so and I got my doctorate degree and blah, 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 blah on you. Okay? I'm not being disrespectful. That doesn't impress me one bit. What impresses me is that you can have a sound council conversation and begin to really understand, you know what? We're not trying to find the truth here, because both of us might have a truth that we can discuss and have fun with. And if it gets so heated, that's awesome. That's awesome, because we're going to sharpen each other to understand each other's side of the point. You know, we're trying to bring out. And that's the beauty of life. And so when you deal with a sound council, you deal with teamwork, you deal with accountability, you're dealing with people around you that you know you can talk to. That sometimes if it gets heated, not a big deal, because no one's trying to prove a point. We're just trying to come together and say, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm sort of tell you my feeling, my opinion, my truth of it. And we will sort of get a little heated at times. But you know, like the Bible says, be angry and sin not. That's a good scripture, by the way. You know, that way if we get heated, hey, it's no problem. But I'm here to sharpen you. I'm not trying to correct you. I'm not trying to make you know that I got the truth and you don't. I'm trying to be able to sharpen you. Why? Because I love you. And the accountability we have is awesome. And that's a part of the kingdom we tend to overlook. But you've got to begin to look at life and say, do you have that? Do you have a sound board, a sound counsel that you know as close friends or family members you can talk to, you can discuss? You know they're not going to walk away from you because you're saying, you know, you're right and they're wrong or vice versa. You know that they're sitting here thinking, I love to hear your opinions. I love to hear your truths, and I'm going to share with you my truths. We're going to have a blast doing it. And if it gets heated, that's great because we can be able to sharpen one another. And true covenantal people are not going to walk away from you or be offended because you're trying to put them down or vice versa, or they're trying to put you down or correct you. What you have to do is realize it's good to be able to have a sound counsel, a sound board of people who you can throw your truths to where they're not trying to correct you and say you're wrong, but they can look at you and say, I like that. Let me bring forward to you my angle, my point of view, and that would maybe it'll help even increase more, or you know, your own truth, or either it'll add to your truth, or maybe, just maybe you might see a point that I want to bring out you didn't realize maybe was even better than your own truth. I mean, here's the great thing about the kingdom. You know, truth always grows and expands. It doesn't stay still. Most people think in Christianity think that, you know, truth is grounded, foundational. No, everything in the universe, folks, grows. Everything is energy. So energy always grows and expands. Energy always has been, and energy always will be. That's pretty much the case of it. And so when you understand the reality of how God created the universe, then you understand that truth is solid. Truth is solid and found in Christ and, you know, in God, yes. And the great thing about that is there's truths always coming out of Him, always pouring forth out of Him. So you get truths from the truth. And so most people don't understand that, and therefore that's why they're cultish minded or they're pride or no one likes them, because they don't understand how to be grounded and well-rounded. And through that, you can begin to realize if you think you're the only one with the truth and no one else has the truth, you know what? You got a really cultish mentality. And that's a very dangerous place to live in your life. Really is. And so you got to see life from the understanding. Do you have covenantal people that you can be accountable to, that you can actually lean towards? They lean on you, and you guys have a blast doing it. You guys have a blast and have fun doing it because you realize that, you know what? I need people that I can throw ideas to, opinions to, and they won't judge me, but they're going to love me. And I want to hear what they have to say as well. I love accountability. Let me tell you something. When I go to the doctor, I don't challenge my doctor all the time. But when I go to the doctor, if I'm sick, you know, if he says what sounds like the flu to me, I always say, well, let me also tell you my other symptoms, or let me tell you why maybe I feel like it might not be the flu because I'm not feeling this or this or this. And so, what do they usually do? Well, you know what? Since you're not, let me go ahead and instead of just giving you a diagnosis, let me go ahead and pull some blood work. Let's just make sure then if you're not having the actual symptoms of flu. You know, so it's okay to sit here and sort of quote unquote talk back and say, well, let me tell you why I don't feel like it's this, or let me tell you why I do feel like it's this. Because you know, the doctor doesn't know all things. But one thing they do know in their expertise is they also understand the power to listen. They understand the power of symptoms. And so when they understand symptoms of what you're having, pretty much 9 times out of 10, they're going to pick a subject to say, that's sort of the virus here, you know. That's sort of the flu. That sounds like a, you know, that's definitely sounds like a, you know, a sinus infection. And so usually if you talk back to them and say, hey, you know what, but also I'm having these symptoms, and I'm not actually having the symptoms that I feel like I've had before with a sinus infection. Oh, okay, really? Well, let's go and do some more tests then. So see, it's okay. It's okay. The doctor's not going to sit here and look at you and say, don't correct me. How dare you tell me your symptoms? I know the symptoms you should have is the flu, and if you don't have them, you're lying to me. Because I got the truth, right? Come on, folks. And so even though they're educated and they're wonderful in their expertise, they don't have a problem with you sharing with them how you feel. Because guess what? It's your body. I don't want to say it's your sickness, but it's your body. So therefore, you know how things have felt before when you had previous sicknesses. And so you sort of can count it out, or sort of, you know, come up with your own conclusion to some degree. But you always want those of higher expertise to be able to sort of seal the deal, right? And say, you know, what? You're right. This is what you have. And so it's okay, folks. It's okay, you know, to talk back. It's okay to feel like maybe sometimes you could be a little bit wrong. It's okay to feel like, you know, somebody around you could be right just as much as you are right as well. But you got to begin to understand you need accountability. You need people you can talk to. So I would encourage all of you, build a team today. Build a team in your life for your soul, your body, your success, for everything you do, because you want people you can be able to talk to and throw things off of. And trust me, there is a mighty powerful wisdom in sound counsel. And sound counsel doesn't mean sound in the sense of they're perfect, they got all the truth and you don't, you're stupid, that's why you need them. No, doesn't mean that at all. Sound counsel also just basically is saying this, that you've got people that are sort of been there, done that in their expertise, and you can throw the ideas to them to give them their, to hear what they have to say, because maybe they're a little bit smarter than you on that subject, but it doesn't make them perfect. All right? And sometimes even through sound counsel, you can even teach your sound counsel some things where they're looking at you saying, you know what? Wow, I didn't even know that. Because you throw things back to each other. That's what people that have truths that are the same or different can do to each other. And I would want to highly recommend each one of you, make sure you have maybe two or three people around you that can be that. I would definitely say don't just have one person, or maybe not even have two. I would say three is a great, beautiful number to be able to have. Three is a number of resurrection, right? So three is a beautiful number to be able to have that in your life, to where you can maybe throw things off of maybe three different people. I would say even if you could have maybe men and women, or maybe different, you know, ethnic groups or cultures or whatever the case may be, that whoever's in your life that you truly love, but make sure you have maybe three people, and make sure you try to have just people that are diverse, because you know that truly love you, yes, but make sure they're diverse, because you want to be able to get people that are not the same, not from the same church. They're all three white people, or they're all three black people, and they all go to the same Pentecostal Charismatic Baptist church, you know? No, because you're pretty much got the same three minds right there, you know? What you want to do is have people that actually have different viewpoints. You know, I love some of my best friends because of the fact that they don't see life the way I see it, and that's why I love them so much, because I don't want people that are going to be yes people, nor do I want people to say, amen, brother, preach it. I don't need that. I need you to tell me honestly how you feel. How do you see this angle, you know, of this situation? And so I'll leave you with this. There was an old parable. It's more of an Indian proverb, basically, that basically says there were four blind men on each side of the cow. And all four of them, you know, two on each side were feeling the side, saying, man, he's smooth, and I can feel this and this and this. The one at the head was saying, man, this, you know, this horse, no, it's got long, you know, thing of a nose, and it's got this and this. And the other guys at the other side, you know, probably where the tail is, like, okay, this is a different point of view. You know, this is what I feel like this tail is very long. And so all four of them that are blind could actually argue back and forth, just say, no, this is how the cow feels. No, this is what the cow looks like. And yet, guess what? All four of them are right. But they're different. They're seeing different angles, different points of view, and that's a dynamic thing, because all of them were right. And if they had a sound counsel with each other instead of moving out and moving in pride, they would realize they could actually create the puzzle effect to understand the fullness of the cow when they come together. That's what sound counsel does, folks. So I want to encourage all of you guys, make sure you have at least three people in your life that are a good team effort, teamwork, sound counsel, accountability, because everyone on planet Earth needs that. I have it. I love it. I wouldn't trade my close best friends for the world, because I love who they are in my life. Hey, thank you again for tuning in to this podcast here of Thoughts Become Things. As always, remember, sign up to be part of our Hot Off the Press monthly book club. I put a book out every single month that is going to be a thick book that's revelatory, and it's really life-changing. So sign up today for the Hot Off the Press monthly book club. And as always, when I close, I always let people know, go and build the life today that you want it to look like. Create it. What colors do you want in it? What direction do you want to take? Create your life today so where your life will be moved into and out of the imagination of the mind of Christ that resides in you. Have a good day.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.